Charles Leclerc has crashed out of the French Grand Prix after leading so much of it.
And for the third time this season, Charles Leclerc, when leading a race, won't go on to finish it.
It's my fault, and if I keep doing mistakes like this, then I deserve to not win the championship.
Max Verstappen wins the French Grand Prix.
And Max, this has been a very good result for you in the championship. You've extended your lead from 38 points to 63 over Charles, sitting pretty at the top.
Well, of course, I mean, it's a great lead, but a lot of things can happen, and I just want to stay focused. It's all about scoring points every single race, even when it's not your day.
In the end, it was a dominant victory for Max Verstappen, more than 10 seconds clear of the field. But of course, the talking point of the French Grand Prix is what's going on at Ferrari. Now, with Damon and Natalie on holiday and not at Paul Ricard with me, I'm joined by, well, I've got a handful, a real international field with me after the race today. Daniel Ortelli from AFP. Can I call you a veteran, Daniel? Is that unfair? How long have you been covering Formula One for AFP?
I've been covering Formula One for 10 years now.
I think that's veteran.
Yeah.
Now look, very quickly, Daniel, how do you sum up that race? Who's happy? Who's sad?
Well, Max is happy because he's been dominant and he's taken the maximum number of points. And again, Ferrari is not up to the task because Carlos had this change of engine. He had this penalty for unsafe release. And Charles says he made a mistake, but I'm not 100% sure that it's true.
There was something about the throttle, wasn't there?
Yeah, so, I mean,
he's
said...
He's very hard on himself, isn't he, Charles
Leclerc?
He's
very hard on himself, but at the end, when we saw him in a mixed area for interviews, he seemed so detached. I mean, it was strange, because a guy who's doing that sort of mistake when starting on pole should be a bit less detached, a little bit less serene than he was when talking to the media.
Now, Daniel, you're French. Charles Leclerc is Monégasque. Do you claim him as one of your own?
Yes, we do, because he started karting on the Brignoles track a few kilometers from here. And his godfather in racing was Jules Bianchi, and he's been racing with French guys all his life. That's why he's so appreciated by the French crowd. You've seen the French grandstand standing for him every time when he did something right this weekend, as much as if he had been Esteban Ocon or Pierre Gasly. So he's one of the French, yeah.
The man on your left, Daniel, is Eric Van Horen from Die Telegraaf in Holland. I'm guessing you've been asked for a few extra words by your editor this evening.
Yeah, maybe make the championship special already, but that's maybe a tough thing to say, a little bit too eager there. But yeah, what is it? 10 races left, 63 points gap. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I think it's a little bit too easy to say, okay, Max has the gap because of the gifts he gets from Ferrari and from Charles today. He is so consistent. I looked it up just now because Fred, another French colleague, asked me, if you look at the results of Max, the last time he was not on the podium, not because of a technical thing or a mistake by the team or a crash, I think it was the Russian Grand Prix in 19. So that's an unbelievable streak. And he is so consistent. And of course, he had two DNFs at the beginning of the season. But now, yeah, a 63 gap. And I think they don't have the quickest car. So it's a miracle.
Well, I think the point both of you guys are making is that to beat Red Bull and Max Verstappen, you have to be perfect. And while the Ferrari car is good, Ferrari themselves are far from perfect, aren't they?
That's the other problem of the weekend. Carlos was saying on Friday or Saturday, I'm not ready to be the number two. I've shown over and over that I have the rhythm, that I'm good, and he seems to forget about the beginning of his season, but that's good for him. It makes sense that he doesn't talk about it. And now he says, I'm right up to at the top. And again tonight, he said, after the race, I made a mistake last time. Charles makes a mistake this time. We are pushing so hard that we are making mistakes. So he's really pleading for having those two drivers on equal terms. And we more or less know that it's a passport for defeat at the end of the season, because it's been like that before. So it's like kind of you're banging your head against the wall. at Ferrari.
But I felt Ferrari were working very well during qualifying. I thought the way they towed each other, Carlos Sainz playing, he won't like me for saying this, but the perfect number two role, towing Charles during qualifying, giving him those extra 0.2.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and it was very encouraging seeing that, because then we thought they have the best car, obviously. Charles is on pole, Carlos is going to come back, and that's what happened. And everything played well until this mistake by Charles.
Eric, you've spoken to Max after the race. Do you think he would have won this one had Charles Leclerc kept going?
Difficult one, because I think the undercut at Red Bull, they thought the undercut would work because he stopped quite early, maybe earlier than expected. Funny thing is, Red Bull miscalculated on 2 points. Before the race, they thought it would be a two-stop race. No, it was a one-stop. And they thought overtaking was quite easy, but you saw he was stuck behind Charles. So if you don't have the track position here, with the new cars and the top line speed they had, the straight line speed they had, it was a difficult one. But I think he was quite confident on the car. He is more or less confident in the car on Sunday, but the Saturday is quite tricky. And I think it was in the press conference when you asked him about Hungary. Yeah, he's saying that's a Ferrari territory, but yeah, we are in Ferrari land sometimes more, and then we don't know for sure that they will win the race. So if he gets a second place or a third place there, that's also good if you have this lead. But today it will be very tough, and GP said to me, the engineer, it will be nice to see the fight after. It was not that he was hoping for the fight, but we, the fans, the media, everyone, you hope for a fight. And this is like the third time after Barcelona, Baku and today that we don't have to fight because Charles has a DNF.
I think he's very hard on himself, Charles Leclerc. I think even if it is his fault, the way he comes out in the media and says, I think he used the word unacceptable.
Yeah.
Which is a very hard description of yourself as a sportsman.
It's a big difference with Max. Because Max made mistakes in the past as well. He will make mistakes maybe later because he is not a robot. He's a human. Sometimes we think he's a robot, but I think he's a human. Didn't check, but I think so. But you see it all for years. He's always, after every mistake, so hard on himself. And you can say at one point, okay, that's good. You show that to yourself, but okay, you can make a mistake. And I'm really, really interested if it was his own mistake or it was a Ferrari thing.
It was very interesting when Charles talked to us at the end, after the TV, because he doesn't say the same thing to the TV and to the print media. And he said, I feel that I'm driving at the best level of all my career, but if I make those mistakes, there's no point. So, I mean, you know, it's like kind of a contradictory statement, like, I've never been that good, but I keep making mistakes. So, I agree, he's very hard on himself. And he doesn't allow himself to make a mistake because he knows it's so competitive and he knows they are against Red Bull. And it's strange because Max now has results the same way as Lewis had results before. You know, he was always on the podium, always finishing the races. And now we have a new Max who is so cool, so relaxed, so serene that basically he doesn't care whether he wins or finishes second or third. He just wants to take the points.
Is he so serene because he knows he's got the car underneath him to win this world championship? Or is he serene because he's now a reigning world champion?
I think it's that as well. He is the reigning world champion, but he is kind of hard as well because he has the criticism of the team, of the car, especially on the Saturday in one lap. So it's, I have to say, it's a little bit both of these things, because he is quite, after Saturday, sometimes after qualifying when you speak with him, you think he's P8 or something because he wants to be on pole position. But that's very tough in this car because Ferrari has the benefit on one lap. So he keeps pushing every time. He can say, we have to do better, we have to improve. But it's quite easy to say if you're 63 points ahead.
Now, Eric, this is the first time we've had you on the show, and it's lovely to have you on the show.
And the last time, maybe.
Just give us an insight into how big Max Verstappen is in Holland now.
I have to say, I'm doing this for 5 years now, and I'm still, every year, I'm surprised. Now, we had COVID, now we still have COVID, but we have full stands again. If you see this year, next week in Hungary will be mental. Austria was mental, Spa will be mental, Zandvoort, of course. the momentum with so many Dutch fans. He is so popular. If we see it on our own website, all the stories of F1, it's booming still. And he's champion, and this season is so far not that exciting as last year with the fight with Lewis. But he is so popular. I never see it with an individual sportsman in the Netherlands. It's incredible, and it seems, yeah, maybe in the first years, 15, 16, 17, people say it's a hype, but it's not a hype because we are in 22 now.
Is he bigger than any other sportsman, bigger than footballers?
Yeah, at the moment for sure, because we don't have a motorsport country. Yeah, of course we had a hardcore fan base who watched Formula One in the past, IndyCar, things like that, Formula One especially, but now everyone knows Max Verstappen. If I go to the hairdresser, the first thing they ask me is, how is Max? They don't ask me, what do you want with your haircut? How is Max, and how is he in real life? So that's, maybe that's not a good explanation.
Would you like a haircut like Max Verstappen's?
No,
is that the next question?
I'm happy with my own haircut, sorry Max.
Interesting, I thought too, that Sergio Perez had a very difficult weekend here, and actually, the Mercedes beat him on pure pace. So it's becoming a bit of a one-car team, Red Bull, which is good for Max as well, isn't it?
Yes, but Sergio has had a very long streak of good results, and he's always had those days off when he was not as good as the rest of the time. The thing with him is that he's good or very good most of the time, and he has a few off days, and maybe a bit more than the other guys. But he's still a very valuable asset for the team. And he's the one who makes Red Bull an armada, just like Mercedes was an armada with Valtteri. And because everybody knows what they have to do. And that's why it's confusing when you see that Ferrari is not ready to make that call. Because, of course, for Charles, it's difficult. Because he has to prove himself not only against Max, but against Carlos all the time. And this has happened before, over the past 70 years in Formula One. And you had those stories at Ferrari all the time, and the politics, and Carlos being so clever that he's probably doing almost everything he wants at Ferrari. And good for him. I mean, it's normal that he's doing that. But it's tough for Charles, because he's not the number one, and he knows that in order to beat Red Bull, that team has to be behind him, all of them. And that's what happened on Saturday with Carlos allowing him to get the pole.
But strategically, Ferrari were left wanting again, weren't they?
Yeah. What do you think, Eric?
I don't know. Look at Red Bull. They never say we have a number one driver, because they don't need to say. Of course, after the Monaco win of Checo, there was a little bit of the burst of Checo thinking and saying, I'm going for the championship. He said it this week as well, and yeah, that's his own thing, of course he can, but now I think it's quite clear, if it wasn't already clear. But I was surprised by Checo, because you're right, because Mercedes was quicker than him, but the difference between Max and Checo was like, what was it, half a second a lap or something. So, but at Ferrari, we saw it in Austria as well, at the sprint race, if you don't have a clear number one and you allow them to fight, it's the stupidest thing to do, because you lose lap time.
If you were Ferrari, would you have pitted Carlos Sainz right at the end of the race and lost a podium?
Yeah, I think they had to, because he was on the medium. I think it wouldn't last that long. But it was so strange. Like, we have the rebel, we have the calmness of GP Lambiase and Max Verstappen on the radio almost the time. You hear Ferrari. Sainz has to tell his own engineer that he don't have a 5-second stop and go penalty, but a normal 5-second penalty. That's quite, it's quite strange. Carlos has to say, no, I'm not boxing because I'm in a fight with Checo. So what's going on there? So if you are not on the same page as your driver, that's another problem. So we have many problems at Ferrari.
We are in the middle of the paddock here at Paul Ricard, and our race winner, Max Verstappen, is just walking up the paddock now. Was that a bit of a high five from Max Verstappen there?
It was more like, what is it, a pin on hit on my chest. Maybe it was an attack from Max. No, I think, what is he having? Is it a trophy or the Ferrari Trento? I don't know if he likes Ferrari Trento. I think he's more into gin tonic, but maybe that's another topic.
Just as he's walked past, is he good with the media now?
I think, yeah, but I'm speaking for myself. I'm in this sport since 17. We have a good professional relationship. I think he's always straightforward. he's not as political, sorry to say, as Charles. Charles is always looking at himself, not always defending the team. Sometimes Mattia Binotto has to say it to him, don't say it in the media. Max is clever. He knows what he can say and what he's not going to say, but he always is honest. And that's what I like, because he's not a typical, like, we have a lot of football players who are always so political correct, but he is so straight. And if I need him, if I have a question for him, if I want something from him, he always delivers. So yeah, we have a good connection. So and we, I think he trusts me, I trust him, yeah. That's not the most important, but if you have that kind of a relationship, it's easy to work together.
Well, guys, I feel we've done Red Bull and Ferrari. That was the battle for the front. Let's talk about Mercedes now. They came into this race weekend expecting to be a little bit closer, and I think probably closer than they actually were. Daniel, were you expecting them to be closer, or did you see progress from Mercedes this weekend?
No, they've always been better in the races this season than in qualifying, because they have so much experience and they have so much data to analyze. They are so clever in general. I mean, they made a few mistakes last year, and we know what the result was at the end. But I think they're really back to their game, back on the ball, and the car is progressing, and the drivers are not complaining that much about the drivability of the car, so they can start a race knowing that they're going to win positions. And I think they are very consistent. And when Lewis says we're going to win one before the end of the year, I think he's right. Because they're going to have one day where everything will be good. The weather maybe, the track, the incidents, and they're going to win one.
He was waxing lyrical after the race in the press conference about the 2009 season. Of course, he just won the championship for the first time the previous season, and he then got into the 2009 car, the first year of KERS, for those people who remember that introduction back then, and the car was nowhere. And it was the Hungarian Grand Prix where he won his first race that year. So people saying, can you win your first race again in Hungary this time around? And he was making comparisons and saying they're not quite ready to win in Hungary next weekend, but they've now found a path forward with this car. Everyone at the team has got their mojo back, and I think we're going to see quite a fast rate of development now from Mercedes. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think they need results like this to have this fighting spirit. Toto was coming on the radio to push George in his fight with Checo.
George, keep your head down. You can have it down.
And Lewis has an incredible streak. I think it was his fourth podium in a row with a car not as quick as the Ferrari or the Red Bull. I think they expected to be a little bit more quicker, a little bit more competitive this weekend, but still they are reliable, they are calm, they are working on a good level, and that's maybe the difference with Ferrari in that aspect. But yeah, I think if they can make this kind of steps forward, then they are there maybe at the beginning of 2023 next season. So I think if they can manage that, then maybe next year we have a three teams fight.
I think it's impressive how Mercedes have kept themselves sharp operationally this year. Okay, they haven't had the speed to win races yet. Just the way they're going about the race weekends is as sharp as if they were fighting for the wins, I think. I mean, funnily enough, Andrew Shovlin said earlier in the weekend that we haven't gone for outright speed with our pit stops. We've gone for consistency.
We heard in the press conference an hour earlier, Lewis talking about his 300th Grand Prix, basically for the first time of the weekend, because he didn't care about that.
Is that more races than you, Daniel?
Yes, a lot more. Maybe not on TV, but he was not sounding as a guy who's ready to retire. And he was saying, we are planning development on what I want to have in the car next year. So basically, a guy who's planning to retire is not going to say, I'm pushing the engineers for them to put what I want in the car for next year. He's never going to retire after a bad year or a year without winning or winning once. It's impossible. I mean, we know this guy very well. And, you know, he likes the way the whole sport develops.
It's been absolutely scorchio in the south of France all weekend, high 30s. In the peak of the day. And of course, Lewis Hamilton revealed after the race that he had no drinks bottle. Well, how did that affect him? Well, let's talk to the medical director of Hensa Performance, Luke Bennett, to get some answers. Luke.
It's an interesting question, Tom, because the psychological stimulus of driving a Formula One car will overcome almost any discomfort. But we are also pretty cautious about dehydration. So there's two parts to it. There's dehydration and there's heat stress. Both are at play today. Dehydration can cause a decrement in your cognitive processes, and we don't want that to go too far. But the drivers have proven over time that they can get away with this if really pushed to do so, either by a mechanical failure of their drink system or by a personal choice, like one or two drivers have given today.
So how much weight would Lewis have lost in that race just in sweat alone?
Without referencing Lewis specifically, I think we would probably be on a par with a typical Singapore-type race today. The temperatures similar, humidity not quite as high, but much more exposed to direct sunlight with a daytime race. And so I think we're looking in the vicinity of 3 to 4 kilos, 3 to 4 liters of fluid loss.
But adrenaline is an amazing thing, isn't it?
It is.
And it just carries him through, right?
It takes away that component of discomfort that we would tend to feel when you're exquisitely focused on that next apex. But, you know, physiology is physiology, and it helps to drink. I'm not sure if it helps to be drinking something that's deeply unpleasant, warm, tasteless fluid. The engineers are also quite happy to have that weight off the car if given the choice. But, it can be done. Like everything in Formula One, it's a question of what is the optimal.
What is the optimal indeed. Luke, thanks very much. Cheers.
Pleasure, Tom.
We're joined now by Alan Permain from Alpine. Now, Alan, another strong weekend for you guys. You're now number 4 in the Constructors' Championship. I'm guessing that's a happy debrief.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nice race after a little bit of a stressful day yesterday with Norris sticking out for second up us and then bringing a big upgrade. And it was a little bit of a wobble, but sort of business as usual today. Really nice to see. And great. Looking forward to Hungary.
I find your car is amazing because every time you bring new bits to put on it, they seem to work. You seem to have found a really good path.
To say that the whole of Enstone is working beautifully at the moment on that side of things. Upgrade wise, the aero department are constantly finding stuff, and production are churning it out at a hell of a rate. So we're it's going ever so well. The car today was brilliant. And Fernando was actually upset about the safety car because he was looking, you know, I think we got to lap 18 or something, and he'd pulled, I don't know what it was, on Norris 4 or 5 seconds, something like that. And he said he was driving so conservatively, looking after his tyres. And we'd had this sort of number of lap 20 in our heads for a one stop, and anything earlier than that would probably two stop. And he said there was loads in the tyres, and he was looking forward to after lap 20 just letting rip for 3 or 4 laps and going another second a lap quicker. It was what he said, which probably means half a second a lap quicker.
But look, you've worked with Fernando Alonso for many years. Do you remember, guys, we heard him say over the radio, "I'm going slowly, I want them close to me so they ruin their tyres." I love the way that guy thinks.
Yeah, he's just sort of thinking 5-10 laps ahead all the time. And the confidence that he has in himself and in the car to be able to do that, to know that they can't catch him. You know, he'd figured out he can allow them to have DRS down into turn one. You're not going to overtake there. We're then much quicker than them through the little slow twiddly bit, 3, 4, 5, and they lose the DRS. So he wanted them sat there, hurting their tyres, giving them an easier race. So yeah, it's nice to hear him say stuff like that.
I think Alpine are firing on all cylinders, right? You've got two really good drivers. The car's performing well. Can we be confident about Hungary? What are you feeling about the next race?
Sure. Well, we won it last year.
yeah. Back in your box, Tom.
No, we need to qualify better. You know, we need to do a better job in qualifying, and so that'll be a little bit more focus on that for Budapest, because it's not as easy to overtake there. And Esteban, you know, he did a great race today as well. We haven't really spoken about him. He didn't have a great day yesterday. He had a really good day today. That penalty he got with Yuki was a little bit unfortunate, and I've watched it back several times, and I can convince myself either way whether he should have or shouldn't have got a penalty. But then to overtake Daniel and then have to overtake him again because for when the safety car came out. Without the safety car, he'd have pulled that 5 seconds on Daniel, and it wouldn't have been an issue. So he done a fantastic race as well. So yeah, aim is to get both cars in front of both McLarens on Saturday in Budapest and give ourselves an easy Sunday.
Best of luck with that. Solid P4 in the Constructors' Championship. Alan, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Tom.
So, lads, interesting to hear Alan Permain talk about the McLaren updates. They were really working, particularly on Lando Norris's hands. They're going to have it's going to be a real ding dong, that battle between Alpine and McLaren all season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great battle. I don't know what Alpine has coming in terms of updates, but I think Alpine is doing a tremendous job as well, and McLaren makes a little bit, so it's a little bit up and forward. But same for Alpine, maybe it's a little bit track related, but yeah, what Alonso did today, and of course I think you need, if you don't have the best car, you need to have two drivers who are on the top of the level. And we don't see it with Ricciardo at the moment. We see it with Norris, and we see it with Fernando. But I think Fernando almost always delivers, and I think he's very popular in France as well. In the Netherlands, he's really popular as well because people like him. He is like a living legend. He has still the fighting spirit in him. And what he did today, what you said, was crazy.
And interesting to hear Laurent Rossi, the boss of Alpine, allude strongly that Alonso will be driving for the team again next year. That's something that's come out of this weekend, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And Alonso, last year I had an interview with him. It was more about the Max versus Lewis championship fight. Of course, he was on the hand of Max. But he was saying, I want to drive in Formula 1 for 3 or 4 more years. I think he's now 41 years old, but he still looks very in shape, really in form, in good form, really quick. That's the most important. So I think it's good for the sport. Sometimes it's good for the sport if the new generation gets a chance, but if the older generation, with all due respect, still has it, then they have to stay because they are a big value for the sport as well.
Oh, huge star quality.
Same thing for Alfa Romeo, because I discussed that with Fred Vasseur this morning, and he says Valtteri has a lot less pressure at Alfa Romeo than he had at Mercedes. And he's a great leader for the team and for Zhou Guanyu. He says it works well. He says it works well, and he's a great leader for the team. And in those teams that are not the top teams, it's very important that you have that experience with Alonso, with Bottas, with a very strong
reference.
You need that for the setup, for the race strategy, and it works. It works.
I think the sport needs its references both on and off the racetrack, which takes us back to Alonso again. I feel that he gives value when he's in the car and out of the car. And, you know, you just if you're in a press conference situation, however good the young guns are, it's the Hamiltons and the Alonsos that draw most of the questions because they've got experience that they can reference and there's history with them and. So Alonso, I agree, is absolutely delivering. And just, well, Alan Permain's eyes light up at the mention of Alonso. He really enjoys working with him, doesn't he?
He's so consistent. I mean, he's so consistent. And he says, every normal race, if I don't get a penalty or if I don't get a race incident, if I'm not involved in a race incident, I finish 6th or 7th. And that's right. He's so consistent that for the team, it's like a great value. And Rossi said today, basically Fernando can stay as long as he wants. He said it to French media, British media, and that was like, okay, let's just sign and you know, do something else. So I hope Fernando signs.
Let's hope Fernando stays in the sport for many years to come. Now look, we're almost at the end of the top 10. Lance Stroll, P10, his 4th, 10th place of the season. Quite a good ding-dong between him and Vettel at the end.
I was looking at my laptop just to tweet and say something about the top three, Verstappen, Hamilton, Russell. And I was looking and I saw the fight between the two Aston Martins. It was great to fight for 1 point. It shows also a little bit the fight spirit Vettel still has. At the beginning of the season, I thought it can be his last year. It will be his last year. But the last couple of months, you see him lighting up again. And I think this weekend he said that he wants to continue with Aston Martin. So yeah. Vettel is the same. If he can keep the fighting spirit, then he's a great asset for the sport. If you don't have it, it's better to stop. But yeah, he is the one to decide, I think.
Right. Do you think he'll stay at Aston? Because he has been linked to McLaren. And when asked that question, he said, well, I think Lando's still got a contract.
That's a clever.
He's not wrong.
And you can easily also say that Daniel has a contract, which is true as well. But of course, Zak Brown said he has some clauses in this. So yeah, I think we need one seat to be give away, and then we get the whole silly season going to a start.
So the top 10 looked like this. Max Verstappen took win number 7 to lead the World Championship by 63 points. Lewis Hamilton was second, his best finish of the season, also his 5th podium. And George Russell made it a Mercedes 2-3, coming home on the bottom step of the podium. Sergio Perez was 4th, Carlos Sainz 5th. Fernando Alonso made it 7 consecutive points finishes in 6th. Lando Norris was the lead McLaren in 7th. Esteban Ocon, the 2nd Alpine in 8th. Daniel Ricciardo, his 4th points finish of the season in 9th. And Lance Stroll was the lead Aston Martin in 10th. What have we learnt outside of the finishing positions this weekend? Is there anything about this weekend where you've gone, oh, that's new?
I think Mercedes is for me the positive. Not having the pace, but still reliability. It's always the key in Formula 1 and the motorsport, but especially this season. That's for me the key, and in Paul Ricard proved himself again.
Now, I ran the track last night. I'm just going to throw that in there. And one thing I noticed that in some of the gravel traps, the fans who were allowed to walk the track last night had written 2023 in the gravel.
Really?
Really keen for the race, obviously, to come back next year. There is no contract. We're going to find out soon whether the race will be on in 23 or whether it's going to be every other year or what the plans are from Stefano Domenicali and the guys at Formula One. But I think undoubtedly it has been a great success this year. I think that the vibe in the grandstands, it's just been a very pleasant, wonderful weekend in the south of France. Right, last thing. This is also a Hungary preview. Eric, your top 3 for the Hungarian Grand Prix, right?
Yeah, last year Esteban won. I think that will not happen again. I think Charles will win. He has good recovery maybe from he will close his doors for a few days and then go to Hungary. I think Ferrari has the best car there, for sure. What is for sure this year? I think Charles win, Max second and Carlos third.
Such is the relentless pace of Formula 1. There we go. That's a top 3 from Hungary. Daniel?
I think Fernando will play a trick to be in the podium. And you just have to remember last year's resistance by Fernando to Lewis.
Oh, 10 laps, lap after lap,
it was
kept
mad.
Him at bay.
And I think that they're going to try something maybe crazy to put him well up on the grid. And I'm sure he's going to make a podium before the end of the season. So I hope it's in Hungary, because it rings a nostalgic bell in Fernando's
career. I think you're a
career.
Fan of...
I am a fan, yes.
I'm with Eric.
I'm not objective at all. I'm a fan.
I'm with Eric. I think it's going to be a strong weekend for Ferrari. Although I did say, as did Damon in last week's show, that we thought Mercedes were going to win here, and we were accused of being drunk. Maybe we were. But I do think they were closer. They were definitely closer. I'm going to say that. Look, guys, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. Now, quick call out from me is we're going to do our Ask Damon summer specials in the August break. So please send those in. Email a voice note to askdamon@f1.com and we will do our best to answer those. And as we just discussed, it's a double header. So next Tuesday, the 2nd of August, we'll be back with the last word on everything that happens in Budapest next weekend. Really can't wait for it. Thank you, folks, for listening. We really appreciate your support. F1 Nation is produced by F1 and Audio Boom Studios.